What a very meditative song to think about. You know, we're still in that race. We're still in the race for Christ, and it's not complete yet. And we need to have patience, and like Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set down before Him endured the cross. And what a song. I'm thankful for that song. I have really been looking forward to this day for a long time and didn't think it would ever come that we'd be able to have Brother David Orris preach for us here. And many of you know as we've been preparing for this day, but for those of you that don't know, Brother David Orris is our missionary sent out of Bible Baptist Church to Ghana, West Africa. And he's been serving there in Kasawa. It's a suburb of the capital city of Accra. And I think it was going back to 2003 when we first met. He was a pastor in Lagos, Nigeria. And Lagos is about 14, 16, going on 20 million people, if you can imagine. It's a city. Imagine a city of that size. That's where Brother David served as a pastor, and he came to Ghana to a conference, and we met there for the first time. And it seems like from the very, very beginning, we had kindred hearts, and God knit our hearts together. And later, when my family and I, we went to the mission field in 2003, we were able to spend more time with his family, because God by then had called them to Ghana as missionaries. And so he resigned from the church he was pastoring there in Lagos and went to Ghana, and that was in 2005. And so he's been serving in Ghana since 2005, and when he first went, he was helping like an associate pastor, helping with the Bible college there, Independent Bible Baptist Church in Takoradi, Ghana. And was it 2008 that you went to Kasawa?
Yes, sir, 2008.
Okay, in 2008, his family launched out of Independent Bible Baptist Church in Takoradi to go to Kasawa. And so you may be thinking, well, why did we start to sponsor him in 2015? And the reason was the church that he was sent out of was going through some tremendous, tremendous trials at that time. And they were being under great attack by the enemy. And at that time, Brother David's family had no support whatsoever to help his family. And I remember when we went back to Ghana in 2015 and we went to visit his family, that they had no food at all in the house, and our hearts were broken. But yet they were faithful. Yet they were encouraged to keep on for the Lord, and they were trusting the Lord. And through all that, the Lord led me to lead our church to be the sponsoring church for his family and their ministry. And God has blessed him, and God has used him in a great way. And he will be sharing some testimonies tonight at 5:30. So I want you to plan to be here in our 5:30 service. He will share some testimonies of the work and how that God is now calling his family. They have... Do you have three or four pastors that are planting churches right now?
Three.
Yeah,
four. Three are planting churches, and one is going to take over the church when I leave.
Okay. So he's got an assistant pastor now that he's been training, and all of these have graduated through Bible Institute that he has taught these men. And so he's going to be taking over the work there in Kosovo as the Oryx family goes to Badagry. Badagry is kind of a outside of Lagos itself. It's in Lagos State. And he will share more about that tonight. But it's a very, very needy area. There are not any independent Baptist churches in that town at all. And so God has burdened their heart. Actually, the burden started a few years ago. And Brother David had asked me about it. He asked me to begin praying because they were praying. They felt that God was moving them back to Nigeria to plant a church. And so we have been praying about it for some time, and God just has been opening doors. And so he's come here to be with us and to share with us. And we're going to be in some other churches toward the end of this month. And so he's going to be sharing his burden with some other churches. And so you pray that God would meet every need for additional support and some of the needs that he has to relocate to Lagos and begin a new church there in Badagry. But before Brother David comes, I'm going to pray. And before I pray, I just want to let you know that we are going to be receiving love offerings for Brother David today in today's service and also this evening. But instead of passing the plate, we're just going to receive them in our tithes and offering box. We have our tithes and offering box in the foyer as you're going out the doors. And so you can just take one of the offering envelopes that are, you'll find them at the back of each of the seats, or there's some in the foyer. And just make sure you mark it love offering for Brother David Orris. And we'll make sure that his family gets the love offering. We want to be a blessing to him. And so I want to encourage you to give and be a part of being a blessing and receiving a blessing. All right, I'm going to pray. And then, Brother David, as I'm praying, I want you to go ahead and make your way up here. So let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the privilege and opportunity that you've given our church to be a part of the Orris family and their ministry in Kosovo, Ghana, and their ministry that's going to be started in Badagry, in Nigeria. Lord, we're thankful for all the fruit that has abounded to our account through our giving and our prayers. And we're thankful that we can have a direct part in seeing churches planted in West Africa, in places where there's a great, great need for the gospel, a great need for churches to be planted. Lord, we're thankful for all that you have done in Brother David's life and his family in equipping them and helping them to do the work that you called them to do. And Father, we are so thankful for your provision and open door that you have given to him to be with us today. And it was quite a process of getting the visa. It was quite a trial of faith. But I'm thankful that Brother David had faith to believe that what you have given him as a promise, and that you were going to provide, that you were going to make a way. And I'm thankful that he continued to trust you, and Lord, that you opened all the doors and brought him here to be with us today, so that our church family can get to know him better and be able to pray more with more intelligence, more wisdom, more knowledge of his needs, and with more heart, having met him and known him personally. And so, Father, we're so grateful for all that you've done and all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. Lord, we're asking that you give Brother David liberty as he preaches today. I know that this is an unfamiliar environment for him. It's so far different than Ghana. But I pray that you just fill him with your Holy Spirit, give him the liberty to be able to share what you put on his heart, that he would not hold back anything, that he would be able to share your word with boldness and much assurance. Father, we love you and thank you for this time. We pray you'd help us to receive your word today with gladness. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's give Brother David a Bible Baptist welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I want to say a big thank you to Pastor Johnny Widener, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity that God has given through him, and I'm just thankful for his life and the life of Mom Stacy. It's just been a tremendous blessing to me, myself, personally, and my entire family. And like Pastor said, I got to meet Pastor in 2003, and I would say it was love at first sight. It was really, you know, a very special time, and the Lord has allowed us to know each other over the period of time, and I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful, and I just want to use this opportunity, Pastor and Mom Stacy, that I'm very thankful. So thankful for you both, and probably we're talking about that some this evening again, and sharing some more things there. But I also want to say a big thank you to the entire membership of Bible Baptist Church. And I'm so grateful for you all. And it's amazing that you never met me, you never met my family, but you still decided to take us on. And even from a distance, we can feel your love. From a distance, we can feel your love. And I would like to say that coming here also and meeting you, you know, it's more or less like a meeting of family, you know, that I've always had. You know, and I met a few of you, some of you, and I think meeting you has been, I didn't have any reason to feel, you know, I felt good. Starting with meeting Brother Justin and Brother Cody at the airport, they came to pick me up with Pastor. It was like I've known them forever, you know, so it's a blessing, and I'm just so thankful that. And I understand the reason why it happened that way, you know, because we have one Father, and that's God. And we have one Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have one Spirit that indwells in us, you know, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. And I want to quickly warn you before I get into reading my scripture passage. And you can tell from the way I'm speaking, so you might have a hard time trying to understand some of the things that I'm going to say. So I would plead and encourage you to listen. Maybe you'd give it a little bit of a hard listening so you can hear me well. Pastor told me that I should, you know, just preach like I preach in Ghana. And incidentally, this is just the way I preach in Ghana too. I mean, not indifferent. So I would encourage you to listen up and help me, okay? And if you listen up and maybe smile a little bit, that would help. And it will help me not to be intimidated standing out here. So And I want to be used of the Lord. I want to be used of the Lord. And I begged him. I pleaded and I sought the Lord. And I know I can't do anything of my own here this morning. I have nothing to offer you, you know, but the Lord has something to offer you. And I want to be the vessel that he would use, you know, to do that. And I want to be pliable in his hands. So while you are listening, would you please pray for me as I preach? You're listening and you keep praying for me that God would use me and help me to be a blessing here this morning. So if you will this morning, I want you to take your Bibles. And you see me doing this, I'm a little cold, a little, not much. So I'm trying. I was supposed to bring a jacket, you know, but for some reason I brought only one. And I didn't wear it tonight, this morning, because it won't fit to what I'm dressing, my shirt and the trousers. So I try to dress to fit, not fashion, but just to look good for God. Amen. All right, so turn your Bibles, if you will, with me for a few minutes. We want to look into the book of Acts. Acts in your Bibles in chapter 4. Acts in your Bibles, chapter 4. I'm not much of a title person with my sermons. I don't really do much of title, but I'm going to give a title to this morning. So Acts chapter 4. Show you the familiar passage, Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read, if you will, with me, from verse number 1 to verse number 13. Acts chapter 4, from verse number 1 to verse 13. Acts chapter 4. If you will, please read with me and think about the verses. Okay, and it's not going to be an expository message, but I'm going to be tapping into some of the things in this passage and sharing some other things as the Lord would have me do. So Acts chapter 4 in your Bibles, if you will, I start reading from verse number 1. And the Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus a resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. And verse 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we call upon your name. Yes, our. And thank you, O God, for eternal salvation. Thank you for the peace that you gave, even through eternal salvation. Father, thank you, O God, to even be in the midst of your church today. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday schools and the prayer meetings, and Lord, how you already have blessed our hearts. But I just thank you, O God. This moment, dear Lord, we are entering into the time where we want to share your word. Father, I just want a Bible. Just want your God to speak through me. Dear Lord, that I'll be sin less and you'll be sin more. I pray, God, you know our needs here this morning. And somehow, somewhere, oh God, I plead and pray that you speak through me and meet our needs. Father, bless the preaching of your word. Take the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right. Like I said earlier on, I'm not really a title person, but I'm going to try to give a title to this message so we can identify where I'm heading to with the Word of God this morning. And I want to talk to us about the subject of standing and staying strong in Christ in an unstable world. Standing and staying strong in Christ in an unstable world. Indeed, we live in a world that is unstable, and it's no news. It is no news whatsoever that we live in a world that is unstable. And how do we really, you know, stand strong? How do we really be consistent in a world that is unstable? Because so many things get our attention. That's what I want to try to do, as the Lord would help me this morning, to share with us some things that God would have us see from His Word. But in looking at that, I want to draw your attention this morning to the previous chapter. That is Acts chapter 3. Something happened in the previous chapter that led to this chapter that we are in this morning. And that is the healing of a lame man at a beautiful gate. In Acts chapter 3, from verse 3 to 8, we see the story there. Now, we see what happened in that passage, that Peter and John went to the temple and the hour of prayer, the Bible said, and they went there to pray, and then they met this lame man. And this lame man was expecting something from them. And Peter said something that I want you to look at, you know, and he said something like this. He said, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you go through that passage, and what you would see is this, that a man indeed rose up and he walked. The man was healed. Jesus healed the man. Now, what happened after that is that incident sparked a chain reaction, if you will, from the unbelieving Jews. And they were not happy with what Peter has done. They were not happy that somebody that was lame, you know, got back to be normal. And it is kind of, a concern, if you will. You know, why will people not be happy that something good happened to them? And the answer is very obvious. It's very obvious. And the answer is basically because of the kind of world that we are in today. Amen. Right. It's interesting to realize that, you know, sometimes, you know, people that are making progress in life, that others that are jealous of those people are usually not happy with them. Even if it is a good thing that is happening to those people, they're not happy. And we realize here in this passage that, you know, a notable miracle took place. And you would imagine that miracle that took place will draw people to want to know about the Jesus that healed this man. But no, it didn't happen. And this in itself, you know, should tell us something this morning. Because sometimes I guess you wonder, you know, why is it that people are not happy with me because I'm living right? Why is that so? And you know, sometimes if you're not careful, then it comes to, you get into that situation whereby, you know, you feel, okay, if I cannot beat them, then I need to join them. And you kind of like, okay, I can't just be the only one living this way. Sometimes you look at yourself and feel like you are like the odd person, the odd ball, if you will. But you see, that's the way our world is programmed, you know, to behave. Our world hates Jesus. And you would ask, why do people hate Jesus so much? Why are people unhappy with the true people of God? Why is it so? We have young people here this morning. And when you are trying to witness in school, you do not find people embracing you. When you're trying to stand right and you say you will not get involved, you know, in the situation that is going on, all the wrongdoings, you don't want to get involved, you do not find people coming to you and say, well done, you're doing the right thing. But what you find is people hitting you. Even in our workplaces, it happens the same way. You're walking a place, you're an employee, and you're doing the best you can to do right, and people judge you. People gossip you. They say all kinds of things. And you ask the question, then why is that happening? Why is it so? Why is it so? Why is our world so bent on being anti-Christ? And you know, for that reason also, like I said earlier on, many of us, our walk with God is not the way it has always been. Rather than live for the Lord, we live for people. Because, listen now, the way people, what they appreciate, what the world appreciates, is different from what the Word says. Amen. It's totally different. So I'm saying this morning, when you think about this and it accounts for the reason why we must stand strong and stay strong for Christ. I think about Peter here this morning. And it's quite interesting just to think about him. And once upon a time, he denied the Lord 3 times. But now he's standing strong for God. But I'm saying to us also, we can stand strong for God. We can stand and we can stay strong. We can remain strong for God. It's quite interesting for us to think about it. Because if you take a closer look in our world today, definitely, what you're going to find is the degenerations of morals. And the spirituality is at an all-time low. You see, the sad thing this morning is that even so-called believers, many times, are the world's culprits. I believe that's why it is encouraged to take, you know, the Sunday school message this morning very serious. We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we have a huge responsibility on us. And I'll say this just quickly that, you know, when I'm saying this, huge responsibility is not a pressure. Because we know we have a promise, right? Amen. And the Lord tells us, you know, He would never leave us nor forsake us, not so. And He also promised us in Ephesians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Amen. So He will strengthen us. But what I'm saying is that we have a situation today. Just like Peter and John, they had a situation. We have a situation also today. Amen. We have a situation that when we are trying to do right, we are faced with oppositions. We have a situation like that. Amen. And then if we are not careful, we want to throw in the towel, want to give in, want to give up. But I'm saying to us this morning that we can stand strong and stay strong for the Lord. I'm thinking of some thoughts quickly. I'm going to share that with us this morning. And That is concerning how we can stand strong and stay strong. And the very first thing I want to share with us is this. For us to stand strong and stay strong for the Lord, we must be connected to the divine source. We must be connected to Jesus. Now this is very significant this morning. We must be connected to Jesus. I want you to go back to the passage. I want you to look at something with me in Acts chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 2. Acts 4 verse 2. But the Bible says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They preached through Jesus. Amen. They can't preach through Jesus if they are not connected to Jesus. Look at verse 13 of the same passage, Acts 4:13. And the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. There is a connection. They have been with Jesus. The question I asked this morning, when someone looks at us, do they find that connection? Do they see it in our schools? Do they see the connection in our workplaces? You know, I know it's so easy for us, you know, to come to church and play church. It's easy. Amen. It's easy to do that. But what happens after church? Amen. What happens? You know, many times it's so easy to have a smile on our faces. And you should have a smile on your face. Amen. Don't want to scare somebody like me. Just smile. Some of you haven't smiled yet. I'm looking and hoping you would smile. But it goes beyond the smile. It goes beyond the smile. It has to do with what is inside. And there must be that connection. It is just like you have, you know, I don't know how you call it here, but we say that's a socket. That's a socket or something that you have to put you have whatever that it is. You put it in there. Trying to think of it, I can't think of it. But you put it in there. You have something like this here. It has wires. If you don't put it in there, it probably wouldn't charge. It wouldn't come on. But you put it in there for it to work. You do something for the light to come on. There is some connection. If the connection is not there, the light will not come on. And same thing. If we are not connected to Jesus, then His light will not shine through us. It won't happen. And we need to understand that. And I can tell you for free this morning that Jesus, when we are connected to Him, we have eternal life, because He's the true source of eternal life. This connection gives us salvation. And we can only connect to Him through salvation. We read Acts 4:12, and I want to read again. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. It says, neither is there any salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must come to Christ for salvation. Amen. No other name. In Ghana, there are so many names, so many situations that people are believing in. I grew up in Nigeria, and my parents belonged to a cult. I grew up in the cult. In the cult, there is one individual that is the head of the cult. He's dead and gone now. But people still call his name for salvation. Just still do. But the Bible says there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only in Jesus that you can have it, you can have eternal salvation. It's only in Him. The Bible tells us in John 14, 6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Amen. Only through Jesus. He is the true source of eternal life. The true life is Jesus. Amen. Bible tells us, same in John 3, 16, whosoever believeth in Him, Bible says, have eternal life. It's a promise. Salvation is not in man. Oh, a lot of people are trusted in people to save them.
Amen.
The salvation is not in a man. It's not in some man that decided that he is the one that can take care of things.
Amen.
Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. And He alone.
Amen.
He alone.
Amen.
It is Bible truth.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:8. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's thine. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Salvation is not through the things you do. You know, surprisingly sometimes, even people that have been in church for that long, when you get to talk to them, you get to find that what they are truly, truly resting upon is in their works. Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. In Him alone. No other name given among men is in Christ alone. It's not in Christ or in Him plus works. It's not grace plus works, it's grace through faith.
Amen, right.
And I'm talking about this connection this morning. Because if we want to say, yes, I want to stand strong, I want to stay strong, there must be a foundation.
Amen.
And that is being connected to Jesus, connected to this earth.
Amen.
Not in our good works. Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:21 tells us, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If faith cometh by the work, then Christ is dead in vain. And Jesus did not die in vain.
Amen.
He didn't die in vain. But Jesus did not die in vain.
Amen.
He died for you. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. I want to announce to you that Jesus died for you.
Amen.
He gave Himself. Oh, and He wants you to come freely and get that gift of eternal life. Repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's a free gift. Everyone, whosoever believe, that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Whosoever believe. We must be connected to Jesus. And we connect to Jesus through salvation. And I want to add this quickly. Also, people must be able to identify us because of our connectedness.
Amen.
When someone look at me, we talked about it already this morning. When they look at me, what do they see? What do they see? I shared that this morning a little bit in Colossians 1:27, where the Bible, God made us realize. But if you say that Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of His glory.
Amen.
Physically, He wants to use us.
Amen.
He's finished His walk on earth. He's not going to come back again, you know, in our time, physically present here to walk with us through the earth like He did, you know, more than 2,000 years ago. But right now, we are the ones that are here that He has kept, that we will do His biddings. And I'm saying to us, when people see us, they want to see that indeed we are connected.
Amen.
I started this morning by saying something that we live in an unstable world.
Amen.
Do you know one thing I ask my church members when they come to church on a Sunday morning? I would also ask that of you this morning. I do that in love. And I ask the question, why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? I can tell you why I'm here, but why are you here? What is the reason? What brought you from your home this morning to be here? That's a question. And it must be that you truly love the Lord. It must be that you truly want to serve God. It must be that you truly want to come, be a blessing to others. It must be that you truly want to come for God to speak to your heart. It must be that you want God to give you something that would help you to be a blessing. And what is God telling us this morning? In order to stay strong and stand strong and stay strong, we must be connected to the source, connected to Jesus. People must be able to identify with us because of our connectedness. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you something there, please. Galatians chapter 3. I want to read a verse of scripture in verse number 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God, right? Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we can't be children of God by any other way or any other means. It has to be by faith in Christ Jesus. You hear this morning, are you a child of God? Can you say of a truth, I'm a child of God, and I'm a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus? Can you say that? That's a question to ask this morning. So we think about that, you know, in relation to how we can stand strong and stay strong. That number one, we have to be connected to the divine source, or connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then number two, we have that word today. We must be committed to the source, or committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be committed. We must be. If we want to stand strong and stay strong, we must be committed. And by that, what I mean is that our full concentration must be given to His beatings and His service.
Amen.
You know, I like that passage in Acts chapter 9, I believe in verse 6, when Saul, you know, had the encounter with the Lord Jesus and he was saved. And the very thing, question that he asked was this: Lord, what would thou have me do? Someone said something like this, that it is just like you signing, you know, your signature to a blank piece of paper. And we know our signature is kind of like our bond. When I sign, I'm saying, okay, this is me, I'm going to do this. Signing your signature on a blank piece of paper and saying, God, whatever you say or you write in there, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
That's just the way it was. And that's the question he asked, and that was what happened to the Apostle Paul. We can identify with the fact that he never looked back from that day henceforth. But I'm saying to us, if we want to stay strong, or stand strong and stay strong, aside from being connected to the divine source, or connected to Jesus, which is obviously salvation, that we need also to be committed to Him.
Amen.
We need to. Committed. That is, our full concentration must be given to His beatings, in His service. That was what we saw in Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Go there with me, please, if you will. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says in Acts 3:1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's commitment. That's commitment. They went to pray at the hour prayer at the exact time, and I believe that this was consistent in their lives. Because they want to stay strong, they want to stand strong, they want to stay strong. So they were committed. And likewise, we should be. Look at Acts chapter 4 also. Acts chapter 4. And I want you to look with me at verse 8. Let's read from verse 8. Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And verse 12, that is the salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We see the opportunity Peter had here to preach.
Amen.
We see the opportunity. And we see he took advantage of the opportunity.
Amen.
There was that willingness. I'm committed to you, Lord, and I'm going to do. First of all, we see the outcome of their prayer life. Then we see the opportunity again that he had. And he had the opportunity, took advantage of the opportunity.
Amen.
You know, sometimes God gives us opportunity being pushed to us on a trolley. How often do we use it? How often do we use it? I tell you, listen, you know, God can use us in ways and manner which we cannot even imagine.
Amen.
Oh yes, he can.
Amen.
Just like this morning, God can use you to bring folks to church.
Amen.
God can use you to disciple people.
Amen.
God can use you in ways and manner you can't imagine. But it borders, as we see here, on the commitment. If he wasn't committed, I remember the last time we talked, I mentioned concerning Peter. At one point in time, he was running away. But at this time, he was standing strong. He was preaching. And I'm encouraged, people. I'm encouraged. I'm challenged. You know, when we are committed, we are fully given to God, like we talked about this morning. We are surrendered to God. God can use us beyond our imaginations. And he wants us to be surrendered. We talked a lot about this. Look at John 15 also with me, please. John 15 in your Bibles. Today I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. The Bible says there, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you." Are you there? "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine." Do you see that? It says, "No more can ye, except ye abide in me."
Amen.
And verse 5 says, "I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
For without me ye can do nothing."
Amen.
It borders on commitment.
Amen.
Just like we learned this morning, God is trust us. And we have to own up. We have to own up. We have to apply ourselves. Can I say to you that, you know, when we are committed, it helps us to avoid distractions. There's so much distractions around us. But if our focus and you focus and we focus and we say we are going to live for Jesus. Just like we talked about this morning, we're looking unto Him alone as the author and finisher of our faith. There will be no room for distractions. Because we have where we've placed our concentration. And we are saying to ourselves that, Lord, we want to be used of you, Lord. We want to surrender to you. Lord, we want to do your bidding. 2 Timothy 2:23, the Bible says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. If we are committed and concentrated on the Lord, we'll avoid foolish and unlearned questions. We'll avoid strife. And there's no one that can make spiritual progress if you're living in strife. There's just no one. So I'm saying to us this morning, if we want to stand strong and stay strong, then we must be committed to the Lord, committed to the source. Our concentration and everything must be given to Him. And I can add quickly this morning that commitment produces boldness. It produces boldness. I have a lot of stories that I could really share, but I want you to let's look at this from the Word of God this morning. Turn with me to the same Acts in chapter 4. I want to show you something in a bit. Acts chapter 4, and I want you to look at a few verses with me here quickly. So that commitment produces boldness. Acts 4, and look at verse 13. They would skip and go to verse 18 to 20. Acts 4, verse 13. In verse 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Then I want you to go to verse 18 with me. In verse 18, the Bible says, and they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, are you here? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Then I love verse 20. It says, for we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard.
Amen.
They wouldn't, you know, give in to the pressure, the persecution. Amen. They wouldn't stop preaching because they were committed to the Lord. They were committed to the source. They wouldn't stop preaching. The things that they have seen, the things that they have heard, they won't stop replaying that, if you will, repeating that, if you will.
Amen.
Because they've committed themselves, and such commitment has produced boldness. Amen. Is that not what we'll lack today, Lord? We'll have boldness to be able to stand and stand strong for Christ. Many times we'll lack boldness. Some of us have friends and we gather together, we talk. We can talk about other things. But we are not bold enough to talk about Christ.
Amen. Right.
We're not bold enough to talk about Christ.
Amen.
Because we feel if we talk about Christ, then they will call us names. And some of us, when we get threatened, then we just fold ourselves and we get into our shell and that's all. But not Peter. And I hope God is speaking to us this morning. Not Peter and John. And they had it to listen. The Lord has given us a mandate. We have a command. We must carry out the Lord's command. We cannot obey man. We want to obey God. And people, listen, it's God that we ought to obey. And if we obey God, then we would accomplish God's will for our lives. It's important for us to think about this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to keep being bold for Christ.
Amen.
I want to keep standing strong for Christ.
Amen.
A lot of what there's so much situations that we can find ourselves. And when we find ourselves in those situations, we have all kinds of reasons to quit.
Amen.
But Jesus says, don't quit. Peter did not quit. He had his own situation. There was a point in time of his life where he failed the Lord. But when he got right back with God, he began to do what God wanted him to do. And I'm saying to you this morning that failure is not final.
Amen.
You made mistakes. That doesn't mean that you wallow in your mistakes. He didn't. 3 times the Lord asked him the question, "Lovest thou me more than this? Feed my sheep, feed my love." I believe Peter got frustrated, but the Lord knew, he knew what he was doing. He wanted to get his own back. He wanted to get Peter to that place where Peter would begin to do what he wanted Peter to do. And Peter came to that place. And may we be in that place too. That place where we are committed so much that we have boldness. Young people here this morning, I know sometimes you say we don't understand. Older folks don't understand. When you are being bullied at school, you are being laughed at, you are being mocked. And all you want to do is just, you want to play along. So that you can be part of that group. I want to tell you this morning that the Lord wants you to stand out.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to be bold enough to say, this is not what God wants me to do. God wants me to follow His word, not follow the world.
Right. Amen.
I imagine how many times you have been advised to do things that are wrong. A young person, God wants you to keep yourself with Jesus.
Amen.
God wants you to keep your virginity. The Bible says that marriage is honorable. And how long an adulterer as the Lord will judge. That the world tells you that it's okay to be involved in immorality. That's what the world says.
Amen.
But God says no. God says be bold to stand strong and say, I'm not going to do this. And why? Because I am committed to Jesus and He alone will I follow.
Amen.
I'm not following the world. Committed to the source. Another quick thought. Is that we need to be consecrated. By the source and for the source. Or for Jesus.
Amen.
When we are fully and wholly given to the Lord. Our potential is limitless. Peter and John were regarded as ignorant and unlearned men, right?
Amen.
Yet, they were greatly used of the Lord. I'm not much of a person. I mean, I usually joke with my church all the time that when I stand in front of the pulpit and I tell them that, look, this is the best looking man ever. And I joke with them, and some of them laugh like you're laughing now. But my wife says, yes, you are.
Amen.
You are. I'm saying a man that amounts to much, okay, physically. A man that amounts to much intellectually. But God help me. God help me.
Amen.
God help me. I want to amount so much for Christ.
Amen.
Do you?
Amen.
Do you? Do you? I want to amount to much for Him. I want to be used of Him. I long for that day when I'll see Him face to face.
Amen.
When He would say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and a doubt to the joy of the Lord. I want that to be that all that concerns me is I want this whole body, everything about me, to be consecrated. This whole body, everything about me, to be given to Him.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
What about you? What about you? What about you? Peter and John, in the face of intense persecution, they stood strong. They stayed strong.
Amen.
Peter and John, they were fishermen, right?
Amen.
They're fishermen.
Amen.
They called them ignorant and unlearned men. But they took knowledge with them that they have been with Jesus. To me, I think that's the most important. That's the most important to me. What if you have all the looks in the world? All the looks, the glamour, and whatever. And you don't go to hell, what does it profit? I know how it is with it. I know how it is today in our world. People want to, it's all about chasing popularity, chasing wealth, and all kinds of stuff. But Peter and John, they were concerned about serving the Savior. They were consecrated. They were sanctified. They were set apart. And I'm saying to us, it should be the same with us. It should be the same with us.
Amen.
Lastly, they were commissioned by the source. They were commissioned by Jesus. We must stand strong and stay strong.
Amen.
We must carry out His commission. Can I say to us quickly this morning that when the Lord gives a commission, He equips and He grants power and boldness. We saw that in this passage, and I'm just assuming that you would go through this passage again and look at it.
Amen.
We saw it in the passage. They carried out the commission. They were put in prison. The prison could not keep them from going on strong for Christ. You read Acts 5, verse 40 to 42. They went and they keep proclaiming the true word of God.
Amen.
Like the apostle of old, people, when we never promised that we're going to have things relatively easy in this life. As true believers. The writer in 2 Timothy 3:12, we are promised persecution. We are promised that we'll have all kinds of stuff. But God challenges us through His word to keep keeping on for Jesus, even in the face of trials and persecution. Do not compromise your belief. Keep contending for the faith till Jesus comes.
Amen.
I know somebody's saying somewhere right now, it is not easy. God never said it was going to be easy. He never said so. But it makes us realize that we can rely on Him.
Amen.
We can. And I'm just giving you what the passage says this morning. What I see in the lives of Peter and John, they kept going on. They kept going on. They never stopped, even in the face of persecution. May we keep going on. May we purpose in our hearts that we would never allow the world to pull us back.
Amen.
We want to keep going on for Jesus.
Amen.
Let's rise our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Pastor?